Does it get any better than Chicago food? From longtime favorites to newly opened locations, Italian beef joints to pizza places, burritos to sushi, Chicago's very own Eats celebrates a wide range of food and restaurants in the greater Chicagoland area. Hosts Kevin Powell and Michael Piff welcome you into their daily food talk in the WGN Radio Break Room as they discuss their latest foodie adventures, their top five lists, the latest social media arguments, interviews with chefs, and conversations with local celebs about their favorite places to eat. This is Chicago's very own Eats.
Welcome into a fresh episode of Chicago's very own Eats. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Mike Piff and some special guests live in studio. The folks from Mira are here. Rishi Kumar, executive chef and partner at Mira, and Zubair Mohajer. Did I get it?
Yeah, you got it.
I got it. That's what I'm talking about. David Moore, beverage director and partner at Mira, Mike Piff, and I'm Kevin Powell. Fellas, thanks for coming in and feeding us today. That was unbelievable. This is an Indian-Mexican fusion, which I don't think I've seen before, but wow, do those flavors work amazing together.
Thank you.
They sure do.
Let's talk about Mira. Going into year two, I know a lot of exciting things happening. But let's start there, though, because you guys just fed us some food in our kitchen here at 303 Wacker.
And gave us a great history lesson,
Yeah. I had to cut you off. I'm like, this is good podcast stuff. We need to get in the studio now. But talk about the start of the restaurant, where this idea came from. I don't think I've ever seen an Indian-Mexican fusion restaurant before, but it big-time flavors happening there, obviously.
Absolutely. I mean, both cultures are huge on flavor. I think from the beginning, it's, you know, I started off in 2017 as a supper club or a pop-up supper club, really. So it was a few years of just trying to find our way through being that in the city, building our own foundation. And then we went into the space that is now Lilac Tiger and the Coach House at 1742 West Division Street. Along that journey, you know, the world brought me David when I needed him the most, because I was a chef. I was buried in the day-to-day operations of trying to make the best food I could. You know, dealing with people, we love dealing with people, but like, you know, internally, you always need that support to have great infrastructure to be able to grow. And David brought not only amazing drinks to the table, but he brought organization. He brought the wittiness to be in, coming from Cindy's, operating in such a big hotel, coming to a small place like mine, it really became a very, cornerstone of having culture being established. So along that way, that's how we met. And now we, talk to each other every day, I think, most of the time.
So how did that connection happen, David? Just meeting the guys and just all of this evolving into Mira. I mean,
it was a supper club, right?
It was a supper club.
Just through that.
My ex, he knew him. And thank God for him, I guess.
This is great. I have this uncanny thing of just DMing people that I don't know totally. But I trust that, hey, you know what? I think this is somebody that we could work together. And a lot of times in this industry, it's like you bring something to the table and then you find somebody else who brings something else that you can't do, and then you create magic together. And I think all three of us would agree that that's really what our relationships have been. It's like we bring certain things to the table that others wouldn't, and we kind of formed this group. So when David came on, I needed that. Fast forward to like us doing pretty well together, I found this dude online on Instagram. I was like, his name's Rishi Manoj Kumar. This is like a Bollywood name, you know, like big time goal, you know, like this is a big name, but he's working for Rick Bayless, running all of Rick Bayless's kitchens that are really amazing. So I was really intrigued. I was like, there's not a lot of South Asian chefs out there that I've come across in my journey. And so I DM'd him and I was just like, hey man, what's good? Would love to kind of connect. And that's how we kind of met. Grab coffee.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
No, 5 years ago, yeah. Yep. Wow. Grab coffee and just started just chilling and vibing. And that's when you asked, how does this stuff come about? It's a lot of just chilling and vibing and like really just poking each other's heads about what we love about food. And you can know when that organic connection happens. And that happened with myself and Rishi. And we started kind of, you know, Bar Sotano, where he was, is where we did the first pop-up, where you had that Chas Aguachile just now that stays on the menu. And then it was just something that we couldn't get out of our heads. You know, the next 5 years was me continuing to do what I was doing. He was crushing it. We were all kind of crushing it in our own realms, but we were always texting each other. I'd be like, man, you remember that pop up we did? Like, we can't let that go.
Yeah.
Was it capturing the lightning in a bottle moment?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it was something very much like he kept poking me, like, yo, it's time you do your own thing. And I was like,
you just knew it. You felt it.
Yeah, 100%.
Time brings it all together.
What was it like working for the Bayless crew?
Amazing. I mean, he's a legend for a reason. He built Chicago's community of chefs. And, you know, every day I am in Chicago, I'm very blessed I work with him. He definitely shaped my whole career in Chicago time, and I'm forever blessed working in
Chicago. That corner of Chicago, all of his spots there, it's just like you can't go wrong.
It's an institution.
Yeah.
And I arrived here in 2014 from Singapore. When I landed there, and I came as an intern, and I already worked in the industry around the world, but that place is an institution. You could tell why, because the culture is good. It's very welcoming. It's always ahead of its time, and people never understand it until 20 years later. Oh, you guys have been doing this for the last 30 years? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Not to derail from your restaurant, but it's like, it's one of those spots that's been there for so long, and it almost, like, Frontera almost has, like, the tourist vibe to it, because it's the celebrity chef, but I lived a few blocks away, and we would go all the time. And I tell people, I'm like, that is legit. That is really, really good food. And every time you go there, and I'm sure you try to bring a lot of that to Mira and what you do now, it still feels like this is, you can tell there are no corners cut at those restaurants.
No, not at all. I mean, hopefully 30 years from now, right, somebody talks about us like that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But going back to your question, it was just like something that really organically came about is the Coach House has always been this 22-seat room behind our bar in Lincoln Park, or I'm sorry, in Wicker Park, called Lilac Tiger. So it's a very intimate room to be able to test things out in. So Tuesday, Wednesdays, about a year ago, is when we started like, hey, let's think about this Indian-Mexican mix. And in the meantime, you know, Rishi was at another job, and it was one of those moments where I was like, David, we got to just do this thing, and I got to introduce you to the guy that we're going to do it with. You know, so Rishi came in, we, you know, kind of went through this process.
From Vegas, and we're sitting at Le Bouchon, and we're discussing meeting David for the first time.
Wow.
Interesting.
Interesting
lunch.
Yes. Yeah. So it was just one thing led to the other, and then, you know, I always joke, but I really do love these phone calls. Whenever you get to call your friends to quit their jobs to do something for themselves.
That's awesome.
I think that's the best phone call you can make. And once that phone call was made, you know, Rishi is, even at the time, like, Rishi belongs in Chicago, you know? And he came here when he was very young. He made his name here, and, like, we can't have him in any other city. So
it feels home here.
Yeah.
For sure.
So having him come back and doing this thing, it was started in the Coach House. We were really able to work on flavors, and then that lunch is when we saw this, you know, what is now the Mira space, have the four lease sign go up, and we all just kind of ran across the street and signed that lease. You know what I'm saying? So it's just
the pieces fell in place for you guys.
With
some pushing a little bit in the good
sort
of way.
You got to pull triggers, man. Yeah. You can't wait for somebody else to do anything, you know?
Everything fell into place at the right time at the right moment.
Yeah.
We got to fill in the listeners on the part that we got to hear about, you know, beforehand when Kevin was like, this needs to be on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So the history that you were walking us through between Mexican and Indian food combined, can you walk through that with our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. Man. So my wife is very smart, and what she does
is a really good way to start.
Very, very smart. Yeah. But you know, she loves watching things like Love is Blind to go to sleep. And I'm always there physical kind of, you know, support, but my head is always in food, and so I'm always going down rabbit holes of food. And there was a time where I found this story of this Indian princess that gets brought to Mexico City in the 1600s via Portuguese trade, and becomes a big part of this fashion revolution or cultural revolution that happens in what is New Spain, but Mexico City, modern day, called China Poblana. And so when I found the story out, the first person I texted was this dude. And I was like, Rishi, like, did you know about this? He's like, yeah, man. There's like, yeah, this is like a, this
That's
is a longstanding,
all,
yeah, there's in Puebla. And I'm like, he starts digging. And so we start digging even more. And we realize, you know, this young woman who comes, I always joke in the dinners, I was like, luckily for her, the person she was supposed to get married to was deceased by the time she arrived there. So she gets absorbed by the church and starts serving the community and becomes a big fashion revolution, but then starts becoming part of the community and feeding the community and whatnot. And so she leaves behind a legacy that's very much so the definition of multiculturalism as we know it, you know? And so to see that beautiful story not being told in our history books is heartbreaking. And the beautiful thing about food is that food is the perfect vehicle to tell history when it comes to that, you know? So that's where the story starts.
Yeah.
And it kind of turns into, we start realizing there's more stories, like the one with the quesadilla that
the
we just
discussed. The Rasul Sal Ranchero in California, so Punjabi Mexicans were meeting. And we're met in our restaurants now. A lot of this, like, oh, we are second generation Punjabi Mexicans, and we know about this Russell's El Ranchero story, and that came about from you know me diving into some of the stories. But I always learned that, and I walked away because I was like, ah, not relevant. I always want to do Mexican food, but it naturally fell when Zubair called me and said, "Hey, Mexican Indian." And I was like, "Yeah, there's actually something going on here." And again, being in Chicago, we then make it our way, right? So we tell the stories, and you ate all those dishes earlier from the aguachile, which was the first dish we did during our pop-up, and then the crispy taco, something, a tongue-in-cheek vibe. But at Russell's El Ranchero Quesadillas, it's as simple as it looks. It tells a story that is what's deeply rooted in our kind of cuisine and culture. It's families coming together and showcasing how they lay out their table and their spread. And that's what we do at Mira. We think about, like, oh, you know, in Mexican cuisine, rice, beans, and tortillas are very much the cornerstone, and salsas come along with that. In Indian cooking, rotis and rice and, you know, chana, masala, they all come together. And how do we put that in a modern presentation? And you saw a little bit of that flair out there, and that's how we started off doing it. Even though we also have a brunch menu and you do a tasting menu, the a la carte sings it super, like, proficiently, comes on the plate, and you're like, yes, this is not fusion, this is cross-cultural cooking. Taking two cultures, if they sat down together today and their homes, it's like, hey, how would we cook it with each other's pantry? And we take that and then go ahead. And you look at us, around Chicago, we're also multicultural as well. Everyone's from somewhere else in the world or has influence. And you go to their home, you eat something different, and you're like, oh, this tastes like mine. That tastes like mine.
Yeah.
So we find similarities as professional chefs, and along with the stories, we weave it in together at the restaurant.
Chicago is—it's just like we're all collectively foodies together, right? There are no shortages of great restaurants, but it's always exciting when you try a restaurant or a dish and you think, "Well, that's like nothing I've ever had before."
Yeah, that's what
you guys just served us in the kitchen. You guys can walk through. Yeah. I'm like, this is like nothing I've had before. It's like watching a great movie you've never really seen before, right? Or like a creative classic that. You're not finding that unless there are other spots, but I mean, that's just totally different from what you might normally get. Not that there's anything wrong with all of the great restaurants in Chicago, but definitely if you're looking for something different, right? But it's not like too far out there. You're not going to some crazy like experimental menu, but it's you're going to try something that you've probably never had in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, both cultures are so big that you can't let tacos just define Mexican food, and you can't let butter chicken just define Indian food, you know? So there's regions everywhere.
Both amazing, though.
There's regions everywhere. There's states within all of those countries, and everybody eats very, very differently. And so we always joke, like, even in Mexico, or if you're going to India, if it's like going to Indiana or Wisconsin, and the whole religion changes, the food changes, the vibe changes. That's how rich in culture and food both of these countries are. Yeah.
So when one of our listeners comes to visit Mira in Bucktown for the first time, what should they expect?
Vibrancy and personality. I think a big part of Mira's kind of ethos and sort of pillar of why we wanted to open the restaurant is more than just what's on the plate. I think going in, you want to experience something really charming and nostalgic and warming and cozy. And that sort of corner of Bucktown has turned into, in my opinion, one of the best like food and beverage corners in the city, just because everything in that space feels very hospitality driven, from Le Bouchon to Pompette to Truce to Mira. And so you can kind of experience a hit of warmth right when you walk in, and then a group of servers and bartenders that have studied their butts off on the knowledge of this cuisine style, and to understand that even though they maybe didn't grow up with Indian or Mexican food as part of their upbringing, they've been taught it in a way to speak about it with love and passion and honesty. So as a guest, you really trust what you're hearing. You're not just hearing somebody who's trying to upsell you on a steak or a truffle add-on. So I think you're going to experience something really warming and hospitable with, in my opinion, some of the best food and drinks in Chicago. It's a privilege to get to go dine at your own restaurant and be like, oh man, we did really good. We really did it on this one.
Yeah.
What you said something about best bite of the year, New York Times. What did? So give us a rundown of what we ate again out there.
So I'll give you in according to awards, right?
Yeah, go ahead and brag. Whatever you got in 2025. Yeah, victory lap.
We're blessed victory lap. So last year when we first opened, within the first 2 months, the crispy taco you ate with the scallop crudo in it and the smoked trout roll became infatuation 2024 best bite. Then the bite after that, which you ate, is the Chas Aguachile, the dish me and Zubair first came up 5 years ago. if it ain't broke, don't fix it. New York Times just released last week some of their 20-something best dishes they eat nationally.
Yeah.
And so we got a national claim as being the only Chicago restaurant to do it. And because the thing says, I'm tired of hamachi crudos, but this one is very different. And that we get it. And we embrace that. So that Chas Agua Chile is so good. Even you can't change it in a restaurant. It's a classic. Then we moved on into that Mexican or the Mira Meze, we call it, like fun starting point of, you know, chips, dips, salsas, chutneys is how we see most cultures. It's definitely adds on to your meal with all the flavor. Then we moved on into that storied Rasul's El Ranchero Quesadillas, that Amul cheese is very nostalgic to Indian culture, mushrooms and roti being the quesadilla format. And then smothering it almost like an enchilada style with that chettinad masala, where it's Zubair's classic recipe. That was the next dish. And then the grand one, which I think like this, I said this last weekend, we saw a record number of 31 lamb barbacoa biryani. Because I think it's biryani season. It's cold outside. Yeah. And the dish is all about warmth and hearth. Unveiling that lamb barbacoa biryani with the roti seal is such a traditional way of doing Indian cooking with biryani, where they call it the dum, they seal it. But we went one step further and created dough that you could eat. And inside, it's the traditions keeping it there. You know, saffron basmati rice, poblano caramelized onion, slow-cooked barbacoa, but then taking the juice and making a yakni, which is a very specific style of biryani eating. So I always sometimes joke at the restaurant, it's not your mama's biryani. because, you know, like in Indian... in Indian culture, everyone's biryani is different. It's also very important to explain to your guests who come through, like, yes, Indian food is very vast and different, like Mexican food. And then lastly, the bite you're going to have for dessert is our famous Ras Malai Tres Leches, olive oil citrus cake that Zubair used to keep making at the Coach House. I experimented with it, and we did a Ras Malai, which the flavors of saffron, green cardamom, coconut milk, sweetened condensed milk, cream. You soak it in the olive oil cake so it doesn't become too crumbly, which I don't like from Tres Leches. So it's still that oil helps it give a structure. And then that mango mousse and toasted coconut. Just
so many involuntary noises.
Oh, my gosh. Perfect sort of restaurant for a holiday dinner. Absolutely, right? Like something a little different from your, you know, all the beef and the turkey and the ham. This is kind of break it up a little bit.
It does.
What made the final question? What made all of you want to get into this business? Because you all ended up connecting together. But how did it all start? I don't need the very, very beginning, but what inspired all three of you, maybe I'm sure different stories, to actually get into the crazy restaurant business?
Mine is the quickest, I think. Yeah, I went to culinary school. I wanted it from beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the moment I went in the kitchen, I knew I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Bear?
I love making people laugh. So for me, the opportunity to create a moment with a guest is really what drives me. I went to acting school and loathed it and purposely quit it as soon as I could and went right into bartending and serving. And I was like, oh, this is the instant gratification you can get from cracking a joke or making a moment with somebody. And I love making cocktails. I just think it's really fun to get inspiration from the chefs that I work with or like binge watching Great British Bake Off and get like little inspo moments from that. So for me, the opportunity to create nostalgic moments with guests, make them laugh and, you know, get a phone number here and there is really nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I can't get phone numbers. I'm married. Sorry, but no. No, for me, I mean, I was born in India, so expectations are always doctor or something professional, and I was horrible at school, probably ADHD. But, you know, I went through finance, was a finance dude for a while, and got laid off in 2008. So that was the first jarring moment where I was actually, you know, challenged by myself as an adult of what, 28 years old, to actually find something that I really loved. And I was messing around trying to do that, and a random like food photography thing brought me into a kitchen for the first time, and that's when I just I got addicted to the whole rhythm. I always joke, I was like, the first time I ever walked into a kitchen as a prep cook for a restaurant used to be called Pump Room here by John George, I felt like the dude from Avatar where he like hooks into Mother Earth with his ponytail, you know what I mean? That really, it's like, it's hilarious, but I felt like that walking into a kitchen where it was just like, I knew that I didn't want to be anywhere else. And
it was the moment.
Very blessed to be able to, I think we all are, to be able to work for certain people along the way that really taught us the ropes of how to operate at a very high, you know, level. And then that only feeds us when we start to do our own things ourselves, because I don't want to work for anybody else.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
God, no.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for coming in. Thanks for feeding us. Congratulations on the success. More to come as you enter year two. Go check out Mira and Bucktown. Just unbelievable flavors happening there.
We'll have photos on our website, too, of everything we ate that you just heard about and are like, I want that now. You're going to want it more after that. So
awesome.
Fantastic. Thanks again, guys. Thanks, appreciate you coming in. For Mike Piff, I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening. This was the latest episode of Chicago's Very Own Eats.